Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. You're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I have a truly amazing show for you tonight. I was fortunate a few weeks back to be able to interview one of my sort of DJing heroes and idols. And I'm going to skip over the tracks of the week and hop right into that. So it is a guest interview with Mark Knight. He will be here in Vancouver on Friday the 22nd of November. Here's what he had to say. I don't have a lot to add, but we're just going to hop right into the interview. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Mark Knight, a DJ and producer who has put together an extensive and impressive resume in his time in the music industry. He's been Grammy nominated, featured on BBC's Essential Mix a number of times, run his Tool Room Records label since 2003. His weekly radio show, Tool Room Radio, has an audience of over 13 million listeners. He's collaborated with a who's who of electronic music, everyone from Tiesto, Underworld, Faithless, Proc and Fitch, and many more. He's released tracks on Saved, 1605, Big Love, and his own Tool Room label, just to name a few. And he's produced an extensive list of tracks that have truly defined tech house over the years. So it's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Mark Knight. Okay, so going way back, did you have any early musical training that helped you out as you started producing electronic music?
I didn't, in all fairness. That's probably the one thing I wish, in hindsight, I could have done is had sort of musical training. I come from an era. Well, we sort of invented electronic, my era sort of invented electronic music. We just made the rules up as we went along. And that's how I learned how to produce music, really, just by trial and error. As I say, sometimes I wish I had more of a musical foundation to back that up. But I think at the end of the day, you can only trust your ear and trust the vibe. And that's been the sort of foundation of my career, really.
Okay, early on in your career, you did a lot of production with Martin Ten Velden. How did you two connect and how did that help you out in your career?
We were mutual friends of friends, actually, and we got together. We were doing lots of small gigs, kind of same gigs together. We were about, he was working with another guy called David James under the pseudonym as audio, oh crikey, what are they called? Audio something, I'll come back to that. And they were working together and we were doing lots of sort of gigs around the same sort of circuit. And we just become really good friends and we kept threatening to get in the studio so that we must do something in the studio. And we got the studio one day and that was it. We just hit it off. We come from very much the same musical background. We had all the same musical references in the past. It was a dream scenario, you know. I have to say it was my favourite time ever working in the studio just because we were so intuitive, really, with each other. When we read each other's minds, I'd jump on the computer and do something and he'd be like, oh, I was just going to do that, or vice versa. And we kind of at a point in our career where we could write our own rules and we had our own vision, our own take on it, and it was really magical. It was really, really magical. Yeah, I think in hindsight, I mean, where we went wrong is because we had no money. We took on so many remixes. I think we did 22 in one year. Oh, wow. And by the time we come to do our own original stuff, there was nothing left in the cupboard. You get everything we had on other people's work. It was an incredible launchpad for both our careers, but probably curtailed our own as a partnership, which was a real shame. But we're still really good friends, and I look back on those times, you know, as the best time I've had in electronic music, I have to say.
We'll be right back. Can you tell me a moment when you realized that this could be more than just a hobby or an interest and was actually going to be a legitimate career for you?
I think when we can afford to eat more than duck and rice every night from Chinese, myself and Martin, it was like, oh my God, this could be it. Because we were so broke, we were so skint. When we first started, you know, we were literally doing anything to make ends meet in music. And it was touch and go, I have to say, but we had a vision, we knew what we wanted to do, and we never ever felt that we were going to fail. So there wasn't one defining day, you know, we said, right, this is going to be it. But we'd both given up, you know, Martin wasn't working and I gave up work. So we were in it with both feet. There was no, you know, there was no room to not succeed, in all fairness.
When you are DJing, what's the equipment setup that you use and why?
I love the Pioneer setup, the Nexus 2000s. I'm a big fan of the RMX 1000. I think when you know how to really use that, it becomes really creative and you can really add another layer of intensity to what you do if you program it and use it in context and in the right way. So the whole Pioneer setup for me is perfect. The looping facility has improved dramatically, so that's really valid now. You can actually use that, and the fact that it all talks to each other, it's just so easy. It's so easy to use, and it's so convenient, for want of a better word, for a touring DJ. You know, I don't really want to get my laptop up and set a whole load of gear. I just want to play great music, and that's the perfect setup for me.
Yeah.
you were hosting a tour room event in Eden in Ibiza every Sunday over the summer, and how did that event go for you this year?
It was great. I mean, it was really cool. I mean, putting on a whole season in Ibiza is hard work, let me tell you. It is a lot of graft, but it was really successful. We had some great shows, and we're excited to go back and take on Ibiza season two next year.
When you are setting up those events, do the clubs approach you usually, or do you go with tour room and approach them?
Well, funnily enough, we were the first ever club to first ever night to have a first ever brand, sorry, to have a night at Eden back in 2013 when they initially launched. They approached us. We were friends. We'd worked with them at their other club in Amsterdam in Holland, and they approached us, and we went out. Well, I think we were pretty much the only active night at the club, week in, week out, and it was amazing. Absolutely the best year I'd ever had in Ibiza. I mean, I've been resident at Space for the previous 4 years, and I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed that year more. I just felt there was more musical freedom to do what you wanted to do, sort of more control of the direction of what you wanted to do on the night. You felt that you had more ownership, and it was more about what you were doing than the overarching brand club. So it was really exciting. And then they sold, well, someone came in to buy the club, and then they kind of mismanaged it, and we were signed up for year two. And just before we were about to launch in year two, we had to pull out because we kind of saw the writing was on the wall, the new management team, and we thought, you know, for all the money we've already invested, we couldn't be part of a sinking ship. So we pulled out. Yeah, within 2 months the club had gone under. So then it sort of went away for a year or so, and we were a bit reticent to go back. We had hesitations because of, you know, Ibiza being a very volatile place and it failing. So we were unsure about going back, but the timing seemed right with the brand this year, and we obviously had a relationship with them previously. Defected had done very well there, so we felt it was time to go back on the island. And we really enjoyed it. I mean, we had some great shows. The opening party especially was just phenomenal.
And were you at every event, or were some of the events you were in other parts of the world?
No, I didn't do all the events. I mean, that's very much what we're trying to achieve now with our live. It's not about me, it's about us as a brand and all the talent that represents that. So I did 8 out of the 17 shows, which is enough, let me tell you. Okay.
On your radio show, you've always been a heavy proponent of up-and-coming talent. This summer, Wheats and Maxine featured as regular parts of your Eden event and as guest mixers. How did you connect with them, and what do you like about their DJing and production?
I mean, that's my job as A&R, is to continually find new talent. That's what I do, and that's what I thrive on. I love finding kids through demos, and you can hear it straight away. It's air apparent when you find someone that's got some raw thing that you can hone into a finished product. And Maxine and Wheats both had that, and they're just flourishing. They're getting better and better. And Wheats has had some incredible releases this year. I mean, he's got some incredible support from everyone, from Adam Baer to Alan Fitzpatrick to Hot Since 82. Everyone's playing his music. You know, you go to DC10 on a Wednesday and you'll hear 10 of his tracks, different tracks. He's getting some incredible support. And Maxine the same. She's really on a roll now. She's had a release on a Hot Since 82's label, Knee Deep. She's a massive part of what we do. And she's the real deal. She's super authentic. You know, there's a lot of people in the music industry not making their own music. They're hiding behind the facade of an image, where Maxine's the real deal. She makes great music. She's a brilliant DJ. So it's great that they're part of what we're doing. And you know, I'll be continually championing what their output.
Tool Room entering its 17th year, what do you think has managed to make the label so successful and such a staple of the tech house scene?
Because we have a sound, you know. I mean, I think that's ultimately what you strive to achieve as an A&R or as a record label, is to have a sound, you know. There's nothing more complimentary than someone will come up to you and say, I've written a record and it sounds very Tool Room. No more so than people would say, I've written a record, it sounds very Motown. You know, I think the trick is to establish a sound and stick with that with a level of consistency and quality. And that's my job, is to maintain that. It's to never deviate from what we stand for as a business, musically, you know, through thick or thin, because music, it goes in trends, and sometimes you're the hottest thing and sometimes you're not. But you've got to be prepared to say, look, this is what we stand for. We'll stick through with this through thick and thin, and that's what gives you longevity. We'll be right back.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
My address is 2904 Salisbury Street.
I can't understand you. You need to speak English.
Hey, Polly, that remark is totally inappropriate. I know you're new here, but this is a safe harbor office. We're committed to treating all of our clients respectfully.
What would you do if you were this witness? Safe Harbor Respect for All provides diversity workshops across Canada with funding from the Government of Canada. Visit safeharbor.ca. Respect for All. Pass it on.
Okay, you are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm DJ Waugh. That was the first half of the Mark Knight interview. A full track list for the interview and a collection of Mark Knight and Tool Room-related web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Here is part two. Enjoy this, and I will be back in a bit. Can you offer some insight into the day-to-day workings of the label? You've already mentioned A&R. You're managing to put a radio show out. You have compilations that come out two or three times a year, your regular productions, and then your live events. So who makes all this come together?
We have a big staff. We've got 22 staff.
Oh, wow.
Here, so it's a big operation. It's a really big operation. And we have an amazing team. I mean, that's what makes it successful. It's not an individual. It's not just me. Far from it. It's the whole team. But we very much believe in what we're doing as a vision. And it's our company. It's not my company. It's our company. And when we do well, we all share in the success of that, not only in terms of how we get rewarded, but financially. You know, that's very much the ethos of our business. Come the end of the year, a good year, everyone gets a very big bonus, because without us, then, you know, there is no Tool Room. It's Tool Room family. That's our motto, and that's not just a strap line. That rings true throughout the whole business. In fact, myself, my brother, and my dad as the shareholders, and then the rest of the team are our extended family, and that's how we run it, and that's the secret of our success.
I really don't think you should do that. I mean, I don't know if I can control myself. I'll tell you what. Come here and snuggle up to Mama real close. You see, it's all about this love thing that I got for you. You know what I mean? There's nothing freaky, funky, or kinky about it. So come on over here and shake it up a little bit. Yeah, like that. You know, the first time you touched me, I remember how I felt. It was like all the forces in the universe had come together and created us. This love thing that I got for you. You know what I mean? There's nothing freaky, funky, or kinky about it. So come on over here and shake it up a little bit. Yeah, like that. You know, the first time you touch me, I remember how I felt. It was like all the forces of the universe had come together and created us.
When you were producing, which DAW do you produce with?
More and more Ableton now, okay. Pretty much just Ableton. I mean, I was always Logic all the way. I also use Cubase quite a bit now. I think Cubase is brilliant. I mean, okay. I'm not the biggest fan of its look, but in terms of its functionality and usability, I think it combines the best of Logic and Ableton. So I'm moving more and more towards Cubase, but I love Ableton just for its quickness. You can get an idea together in 10 minutes to know whether it's going to work or not going to work, where Logic finds a bit more long-winded. I find Logic more precise. You know, if you're doing something more grandiose, I think Logic gives you the option of being more precise with your production, and I think that sonically it's a better DAW, but in terms of making just straight-up club records and to get a vibe, then there's Ableton is the one.
Do you use external VSTs usually, or just what Ableton includes as well?
Oh, no, I use everything, you know. I mean, I have a kind of palette of plugins that I use, and sometimes I think you could overcomplicate things, find things you know to use well and do a certain job and just have three or four of them just to give you alternatives. You know, I might have two or three different saturations and I'll AP all two or three of them to find out what I like best, but that'll be at one at 15 different saturations of plugins, because otherwise you never get the job done. So I kind of have a palette of go-to plugins that I use, which is a combination. I mean, the Ableton plugins themselves, I've got to say, are very, very good. Very good, very quick to use, very easy to use. But I don't overcomplicate things, and I think that's the trick.
Which do you feel more passionate about, DJing or producing, and why?
I think they're so intrinsically linked. One forgets the other, really. You can't have one without the other. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than making a record than going out DJing to a crowd and people going mad. You know, it ties the two things together. Of course, DJing's a lot more exhausting in terms of how it drains you physically and mentally, and just the time you have to give it. With all the travel and everything else involved, very difficult when you have a family and a business and all the other things. So that can become more draining than being in a studio nightlife. That's definitely more of a comfortable scenario, but I like both, you know, and as I say, one is intrinsically linked with the other, so I couldn't live without either.
You got the love I need to see me through. When food is-
Is there ever a time of year when you actually take an extended break from all of this?
No.
Oh, seriously? Oh, wow.
That is the answer to that. I only actually work 2 weekends a month because I have a son.
Okay.
And you couldn't pay me enough money to watch, you know, to miss him growing up. And in fact, I may even slow down even further because I'm at a point in my life where my main focus is my family, and that's what means most to me. I've been on the road for 20 years straight, which is quite exhausting, but I'll never give up. And and what I'm doing now is just doing the shows I really want to do. Don't feel like I need to play every single weekend to prove my existence or my work within the industry. I pick and choose the shows I really want to play at, and the rest of the time is either running the business or at home with my family. So then I have the best of all worlds, you know. And I think that really is success. People shouldn't necessarily measure success in whether you do 28 gigs a month. Success is balance. If you have the balance of all the things you love doing, then you truly make it, and that's what we strive for. That's what I strive for anyway.
Can you name one producer or DJ whom you really admire and why?
Wow, loads. And I've never stopped the hunt for that, you know, and giving people props. I mean, I think this industry sometimes lacks that community that house music should be built on. It's a community thing where we constantly should be bigging each other up and giving each other props. But if I had to say now one guy I'm a real big fan of, and which translates in my life, it's his Siege. He makes incredible music, really, really consistent, makes great club records. He makes records that just translate on a dance floor. So right now, Siege is, I'm probably his biggest fan.
Your show in Vancouver is happening November the 22nd at Celebrities. I know that's about 5 or 6 weeks away, but what do you think club goers can expect from you that night?
The sound of Bark Night and the sound of Tour Room. You know, that's only what I can bring. My passion and my energy. And I've always had brilliant nights in Vancouver, and I would expect nothing less come that night. It should be a whole lot of fun.
You've sort of touched on some of this, but maybe you can come up with some more. What's your vision for yourself production-wise and also in DJing for the future?
Production-wise, I started to go back to my roots a little bit and make quite a bit of soulful house music and disco. I've just done a remix that drops tomorrow, actually, of Karen Harding's new single, which is a big full vocal thing with Michael Gray. We've been working with him quite a lot from Full Intention, and we've just done a project for Jasper Street Company, The Nervous, again, which is, you know, kind of is a cover of the Change record Paradise. So we've done that. So yeah, I kind of want to go back to my roots a little bit and make, you know, I come from a very soulful house background, or very soulful background, full stop, you know, that's really where my roots are entrenched. So that's very much a part of what I want to do next year. I mean, I have a specialist radio show in the UK outside of what I do for Tour Room, where I just play funk, disco, boogie, house, all that kind of stuff, you know, straight from my heart. So that's going to be very much a big part of what I do next year in terms of production, alongside, of course, all the usual Tour Room stuff that I do and stuff for the other labels. But I really want to revisit that. And as I say, in terms of DJing, you know, it's going to be about quality than quantity next year. You know, I want to spend more time in the studio. I want to spend more time with my family. So, you know, if you see me at a nightclub, you know it's going to be special, because I'm not picking many shows. I'm just picking the ones that I really, really, really want to do.
Been Mark Knight. A selection of Mark Knight tracks can be found on Beatport, Juno Download, TrackSource, Apple Music, and Spotify. A full list of Mark Knight and related web links can also be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
I call it transcendence. Transcendence. I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, Hard Trance, Epic Trance, Acid Trance, Deep Trance, Hard Dance, Break Beat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
I call it transcendence.
Okay, we are all done here for another episode of Techno Progressivo. I hope you enjoyed tonight's feature interview with Mark Knight as much as I did enjoy making it. Full track list for the full interview and a huge collection of Mark Knight web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, you can do so either at iTunes or Apple Music or by searching Techno Progressivo on citr.ca under the show page. Up next is going to be Smiley Mike with 2 hours of Transcendence, so check that out for everything trance. I'm all done here, but before we go, let's end off as we always do by setting the controls in the time machine for this week's track from the past. So for this one, we hop back in time 11 years to 2008, to a time when electro was still the king. This one's called Bread and Butter. It's John Acquaviva. Enjoy this, and I will be back here in 2 weeks.